How precious is that?
Amen.
Dear God above, it's so wonderful to be here with you and experience Brother London and
Amen.
Him coming forth to speak with us. It lifts our heart. It's a wonderful thing. Y'all make me feel so good when I come here that you might enjoy us coming. Well, I tell you, it's not anything like the joy we feel by being with you. You're a special people. This morning as we were driving here, my dear wife, Annelle, I know she's not feeling well, but she knew my desire to be here. She's never whimpered, but I know she's not feeling well. I'd ask your prayers for her. She's very weak and having some weak spells. But she supports me and the things that I do and the closeness I draw to God and to the church. And I said, honey, I have had something on my mind for several weeks, but I can't seem to get there to preach about. And she says, well, I see why. You know what the first word of that sentence was? I. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we feel the love within our hearts. That's why we look upon one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a precious, precious thing. As we drove here this morning, I looked out in the abundance of God's great creation. It's a wonderful sight. Just to know that it was spoken into existence,
Amen.
As your pastor said, by our God.
Amen.
And it didn't just happen by itself. It is purposed by God. What a wonderful thing it is to have a creator as He is. God is love, is what the scriptures tell us. God is light. God is everything to us. I thought how great it is to be alive. That wasn't a natural great to be alive. That was a spiritual great to be alive in Christ.
Amen.
All things make sense. Otherwise, it's nothing.
Exactly.
It's like we're a wandering generality. But when you know Christ, you are a meaningful specific. You are His. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that you're a child of God and feel Him within your soul? And then I thought, as our brother talked about, it's great to be dead.
That's true.
I've got to explain that sentence.
Yeah.
Not a natural death. You look at death And dead in the scriptures, several ways to look at it. We are dead in sin.
Right.
We're not glad to be dead in sin.
No.
But because of Jesus Christ and what He's done, we're dead to sin. We're dead in Christ.
Right.
What a wonderful thing that is.
Yeah.
I want to go in the 6th chapter of Romans. This was not on my mind driving up here. The Lord works, and I'm glad He works with me.
Amen, me too.
I cannot believe, when I talked to my wife this morning, I said, "Honey, would you have ever thought I would have tried to preach the gospel of God?" She said, "No." And you wouldn't have either. Unless God was involved with it.
Exactly right.
I had different ideas of what I wanted in life. He changed that. He'll change things in your life to more better benefit what He does in life. It's great to have God within you to work and to will and to do of His good pleasure. 6th chapter of Romans, we get to talking about this dead in Christ and the dead to sin and the death to the world. Chapter 6, Romans, first verse. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You hear the Apostle Paul saying, God forbid. Don't think that way. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you're dead to sin, why do you live in sin? That's our nature. It's because you're not walking in the Spirit. That's why. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. How great it is to be dead, brothers and sisters, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Amen.
That's what I want to do, brothers and sisters. I want to walk in the newness of life that Christ has given me. Because of what He has done, I am able to look at sin and say, I sin no more. Never works, but I say it. I try it, and He's the answer. We're not our own answer. We cannot say, I'm not going to sin anymore, and do it. It's just not our nature. We're totally depraved individuals. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, think about this. We shall also be also in the likeness of His resurrection. What a glorious time that is. The resurrection from the dead that we are. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified, you are a new creature. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Because of God and what Jesus Christ has done. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen.
Because God lives in you, you don't have to serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him. Living with Christ, living with Him is our life, is our everything.
Amen.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more.
Amen.
Death hath no more dominion over Him. And if Christ lives in you, sin has no more dominion over you. For in that He died into sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Jesus has done everything for us.
That's right.
And as our dear brother said, it is finished. There's not anything we have to do or you need to do to become a child of God.
Right.
That was predestinated before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. That's something that we can do ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
It's not something He does for us.
Right.
It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let me skip a verse and go to the 14th verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. And by the grace and mercy of God, you are able to not sin. You have a choice. You're a new creature in Christ. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who are you serving? Are you serving yourself or are you serving God? For me, I try to serve myself too much. I need to be serving God. As I said, it's no longer about me. It's not all about my pleasures. It's not all about what I want to do. It's about God and what He wants to do, because He knows what's best for each and every one of us. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. It's something you can do. It's a commandment of God. Turn from sin and walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. That's the way we are. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servant to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. You can't serve God and continue in sin. You can't be there at the same time, place at the same time in this world. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. When I say it's so glad to be dead, I'm talking about the dead in Christ. The dead to sin. Not the dead in sin. But now being made free from sin and and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So natural death, where is thy sting? You're alive in Christ. It's a wonderful thing. For the wages of sin is death. This is something you know, something you can do. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, by His grace and mercy, this poor sinner has it, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life. It's a wonderful thing to think upon those things that fill our hearts, that make us want to draw close to Him. If we draw nigh to Him, He's going to draw nigh to you. Amen. It's such a precious thing to have that loving Father that loved us with an everlasting love and given us all the abundance of life by following Him. It's so good to be with you today. It's so good to feel the love of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for your good attention and your time.
Bless your heart, brother. 'Twas grace that torn my heart to
good to you.
Grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
What a good morning. The Lord has truly been good to us today, and we've been blessed to hear from both of these dear ones wonderful truths that come from God's Word. The comfort that God gives His little children in the gospel is a great, great blessing here in this world. And in order for us to be comforted, in order for us to receive comfort from that message, it takes the work of God's grace in our hearts to give us life. He's the life giver. He's the one who gives us life. And there is a state of death that we're in by nature, being dead in trespasses and in sins, that we cannot get ourselves out of. We don't have the desire to. We don't have the will to. We don't have the ability to. We are happy and content in this old world. And with the things of the world, the only thing we would want is just to continue right here on and on and on. Take our fill of all of the pleasures and the lust of the flesh. Things that we know as men and as women. Things that are contrary to the will and the way of God. And we're happy and content in that. When the Lord works in the hearts of His children, and He does that sometime between conception, when our physical life begins, and death, when our spirit and soul depart from our body, the Lord in the lives of the Lord's people quickened them. And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And as Brother Darrell has said, that dead is not a good dead. That's a death we can't do anything about. But the one who speaks life to us is the one who quickens us and makes us alive, and you hath He quickened. Now that happens to every little child of grace somewhere in their life. They're not looking for the Lord. They're not desiring the things of God. For some of them, it might have happened in their mother's womb. We believe in a God who's big enough and powerful enough to quicken one of His children in the mother's womb. I don't know exactly the moment or the hour, the time in my life when the Lord brought me from that state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ. But I believe, I have a sweet hope in my breast that He has done that. And that at a very young, early age in my life, I began to have a hope in the Lord and a desire for the things of God. One of the biggest things that happened in my life when that occurred was I felt a great weight of sin. I felt to be a sinner. I felt to be the least and the one in most need. And I had a great, great fear of being cast away from Almighty God. Not because I thought He was a mean and an awful God, but because I had fallen short of doing what He would have me to do and living my life in a way that He would have me to live. And as a sinner, I knew there was no hope for me if it was only in me. Now, at that time, I was going among a people that preached something else other than the comforting gospel of salvation by grace. And I heard about all the things that you need to do in order to get your life straightened out, how to get yourself fixed up. And there was a list of that. And you look to all the different orders of the world and you'll find some have a list that's a little longer than others and some have a list that's a little shorter than others, but it's still nonetheless a list of what you need to do in order to get yourself out of a state of death to a state of life. Now when we think about that and when we read the Bible about that, we find very clearly there's only one that was ever able to come to one that was dead and do anything for them. Now we see sometimes that the prophets of old were able to raise the dead, but they didn't do it by their own power. They did it by the power that was given to them by Almighty God. There was only one man who ever walked the face of the earth who had the power to say, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth in John chapter 11. And he came forth in the grave clothes that he had been buried in, he being dead, all those around him that had watched him get sick and watched him die had no power, no ability to recover him out of the state of death that he was about to go into and even keep him out of it from going there. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. And the wages of sin, as Brother Darrell has just read in that last verse, the wages of sin is death. And that death passed upon all men, just as sure as Adam sinned and transgressed God's law, he died, he became separated from God, Eve sinned and became separated from God, and all of us in Adam, all of us as the sons of Eve, and as Adam as our federal head, all of us in Adam died and became eternally separated from God with no hope and no help. Now, we didn't care about that at all in our lives until we were awakened and became dead to sin. That work of grace that took place in our hearts made a change. That soul that was in us that knew only the things of a man is regenerated and worked on by Almighty God. And you become a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You see different, you hear different, you have faith whereby you can know the things of God. Without faith, the Scripture says it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, we can't come to God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, if you understand that today, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and by the way, those rewards don't come out of our merit. They come by the very merit that was done for us through and by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her iniquity. God has shown us His great mercy, and He's also shown us His wonderful grace, and He's done that as we live here in time, and one day we'll enjoy it in heaven and immortal glory, not because of what we did for Him, but because of what He has done for us. We can't make that happen in the lives of people, but we can sure see the evidence of it. John chapter 11. I'd like to read the whole chapter in your hearing. Time really won't allow for that. We'll read the latter part of this. And the subject matter that's under consideration in John chapter 11 is we have Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. And Martha and Mary Lazarus lived in the town of Bethany. And Jesus was a friend to Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He was not only a friend, he loved them. The scripture says, in one of the most plain scriptures in the Bible, it says a whole lot of good things about, we don't have to question today where Martha is or where Mary is or where Lazarus is because of, not because of what they did for the Lord. We don't have to question. You know, some people think, well, where is this person who's gone home to be with the Lord? Where is this person at when they died? Where did they go? Well, you can guarantee this. There's a Martha that's in heaven today, and there's a Mary that's in heaven today, and there's a Lazarus that's in heaven today because Jesus loved them. And we have that verse, I believe, in the 11th chapter, to see if I can find this. It says in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, that's Mary, and Lazarus. That's verse 5 of John chapter 11, verse 5. Says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now when we talk about those who were dead in trespasses and in sins, we're talking about Martha and Mary and Lazarus. We're talking about each and every one of us. But what was different about Martha and Mary and Lazarus? The difference was that Jesus loved them. Now some might say, well, doesn't Jesus love everybody? Well, the Bible doesn't teach that He loves everybody, though we would like to think that in our own natural thoughts. So what the Bible teaches is that God loved His people. For Jacob had he, have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God had a love for His people. Now, His people are out of every nation, and out of every kindred, and out of every tongue, and out of every people, an innumerable company that no man can number. And yet, if God had only loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, He'd have still been God and been all right to do that. You know, some people have trouble with that kind of God. If you have trouble with that kind of God, you have trouble with the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible made particular choice of His children. He had a particular love for them. He had a love that wasn't just in general for everybody, but He had a particular love for each and every one of His children. If God's love was just in general to everybody, then it wouldn't be very special to anyone. God's love wasn't just cast out there in hopes that you would respond to it and therefore He could do something for you. God's love was so great that He sent His only begotten Son in particular for every one of His children that He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. That means if you love the Lord today, and I hope you do. I can't make you love Him. I can't cause you to love Him. I can't preach love into you. I can't give you faith. I can't give you joy. I can't give you any of the fruit of the Spirit because it isn't the fruit of Gary Utes. It isn't the fruit of the preacher. It isn't the fruit of the church. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And only the Spirit can work in you those fruit. But I'm telling you, if you're born of His fruit, of His Spirit, you have worked in you the principles of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And when you see those evidences in a person, you see someone whom God has worked on. Amen. And when you see someone whom God has worked on, you're seeing someone whom God has loved. And if God has ever loved you, can I say this? If He's ever loved you, He'll always love you. Otherwise, He is a changing God. What does the Bible say about God? One thing that you can be sure of, He changes not. He is immutable. He cannot change. He will not change. And those whom He loved in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, He'll love them in eternity forever and ever. And nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that words of comfort? I believe it is. Comfort ye. Who? It's not words of comfort to the natural man. Because the natural man feels like he's deserving. If there is a God, He ought to love me because I'm good enough to be loved. But a man that's born of the Spirit realizes by the grace of God, I am unworthy of His love. And if He would cast me away, He'd be just as much God. If He'd have left me out of that number, He'd be just as much God. If He had never chosen me or any that I love, He would still be God. For what we deserve are the wages of sin, which is death. God has not dealt with us on what we deserve. God has dealt with us by His mercy and by His grace and by His love. And His mercy is everlasting. And His love is so high we can't preach it. And so deep and so broad. It's four-dimensional love that God has. That can, it's beyond explanation. But it's good to try to talk about it. And I love to see this dear brother come before us this morning and in the very best efforts that he could, stood and spoke to God's little children about the love of God. That touched my heart. Sometimes what's said just in a few words can mean much more than what's preached in hours and hours of messages. You can't preach a broken heart. You show that. And that broken heart can only come from one place. Can I tell you that? It only can come from the Lord. And I know this dear brother. I know his feelings. There's nothing in this world that could have made him do that this morning. None of this world. It had to be an unction that comes from somewhere else. It is not something he wants to do. You understand that? You know, it's a strange thing about old Baptist preachers. All of them want to preach, but none of them want to preach. In other words, they love to hear other people preach until it comes time. And then when their preaching's going on, they're sitting there wanting to preach. And then when they get up here, they go like, what did I do? Why am I up here? Why am I up here? And that burden comes in the heart. Why? And that comes from above. Listen, the life that you have to want to hear preaching, that's not normal. What's going on with you if you have a desire to hear the good things of God is not normal. It doesn't just come by nature. It's something that can only come from Almighty God, from the one who loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And I'm telling you, that love of God worked a difference in their life. So Mary was a sweet little sister that loved to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His words. That's because Jesus loved her, and she showed her love to Him enough so that she took that valuable ointment that was considered almost a year, almost 2 years, a year's wages, and she broke that ointment open and anointed the feet of her Savior, so much that as those men looked at her and Judas sitting there saying, "Oh, that's a waste of money." I'll tell you, the world looks at it, maybe this is a waste of time, but it's not a waste of time. This is the most important thing you and I could ever do. Come aside and sit together for a little while and thank the God of heaven who loved us, we believe, before the foundation of the world. And you say, well, how can I have evidence that He loves me? Well, do you love Him? If you have a desire to love Him, do you desire for His mercy? Do you have an appetite for the things of God? If you do, that's an evidence that the Lord of heaven loved you, and there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from His love. And it was love that brought Jesus down from heaven to this earth. It was love that caused Him to walk on the face of this earth. It was love that caused Him to be troubled and to have the pains and the agony of this life. It's love that caused Him to go to the cross. They could have never taken Him had He not freely given His life. They couldn't have driven the nails in His hands or in His feet. They couldn't have placed a crown of thorns upon His head. They couldn't have ripped open His back with the scourging and the beating that He took. They couldn't have made Him suffer on the cross if He had not given Himself to that. He gave His life. He gave His life. And He who gave His life, He had the power to lay it down, and He had the power to take it up again. I'm telling you, He was the only one that had the power to come to Lazarus, and not with just the Father's will. He was, of course, in the Father's will, but He spoke out of His own word, out of His own mouth, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus came forth bound hand and feet. Because He loved Lazarus, and because He loved Mary, and because He loved Martha. Now, you know, when they were in trouble, Martha and Mary knew where to go, didn't they? They cried out and called out to the Lord. "Lord, our brother's sick. Our brother's sick." You ever wonder about sickness in this world? Why a God who's merciful and a God who's just and a God who's right allows it and suffers it to be? Sometimes you and I look at the circumstances of life, and in our nature we start wondering and questioning what God is doing. Is God really there? And all of those kinds of things. Can I say to you, dear ones, in the midst of those storms and in the midst of those troubles, God overrules them and brings about His purposes and His providences that cause us to see things that we cannot really see any other way. And I don't understand all the ways that God moves, but that's because I'm not God. He's God and I'm not. And I'm not here to try to explain all that to you. I know those secret things belong unto the Lord. But I'm here to tell you this. God is on His throne and He's working His will in this world, and we can trust and lean upon Him and depend upon Him every step of the way. And there Mary and Martha were sitting there and bid Jesus to come, but Jesus tarried. He didn't come right away. Sometimes we're praying and say, Lord, fix it. But he don't fix it right away. Sometimes we want it this way and he does it another way. Sometimes we say, Lord, heal here. And we wonder why he doesn't heal. Can I say this to you? Everyone who's asked for healing gets that healing as they look to the Lord. Some of it get it right down here while we're living here in this world. And some of it get it after a while, when the Lord takes them out of this old troubled world, and that spirit and that soul is in the presence of the Lord, and that body is laid to the dust, but one day it'll come forth, fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be with Him forever in heaven. A body, soul, and spirit. I remember a dear old preacher friend that I had, Brother Bryce Hagler, who had a real bout with cancer, and he just continued to have that bout, and he was going through different kinds of treatments and other things, and he said, Brother Gary, and I remember it coming out of his mouth. He said, Brother Gary, I'm in a win-win situation. I'm in a win-win situation. He says, if I go and the Lord blesses me with healing and I get healed, then I win. He says, but if not, it's God's will for me to leave this world and I get to go home to be with Jesus, then I win. That's why old Baptists can sing about dying. That's why old Baptists can face death and say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Because the victory has been won. And that's the comfort ye my people, saith your God, that this brother has preached and Brother Darrell has preached. And because of what he's done for us, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We ought to want to act better and talk better and behave better, not in order to become his children, but because of what he's done for us. He said, and I'll just read it quick. He said, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, verse 39, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. There was the stone about to be removed from the cave, from the place where they laid the body of Lazarus. They'd done that at least 4 days ago. And there was Martha. And Martha, you know, you read about Martha in the scriptures, she's just a busy, busy person. Martha's a busy person. Everywhere you see Martha, she's working. She reminds me of these little sisters that are just busy. They're just going to be busy doing something, getting at something. Now Mary wasn't lazy, but Mary was blessed to see that some things, there was a time to do some things and there was a time not to do some things. But Martha had said, she had faith. She had confessed that Jesus, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. She had faith in His power and in His ability. But like us, sometimes she got her eyes off the Lord and sometimes she got to thinking about things. And now, rather than understanding what Jesus was about to do, He'd already said, that brother's going to rise again. She says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. But He said, I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the life. And He says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here, little sister Martha says, the sister of him that was dead said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. She's got to be doubting. You know, that would cause you to doubt, wouldn't it? I'll tell you, we lose a loved one and we might doubt. We wonder, where are they? Listen, remember who it is that has said he is the resurrection, he is the life, and he is the way. The one who loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus not only had the power that he loved them, but he had the power to save them. And Lazarus was safe in that which Jesus was about to do. He says, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Brethren, I say that's a message to us right here on verse 40. Our believing doesn't give us life, but it allows us to see the glory of God. If you're able to believe, you already have life. Some people said, if you believe, you'll get life. Listen, if you can believe, you have faith, which is a gift of God, you already have life. And you use and exercise that believing in order to see the glory of God. I want you to know God is already in heaven and glorified. The Son is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work. And all believing does is allow us to see what they're doing in our lives. I want us to be able to see that and rest in that. He says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Some people have said that if he hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth, he'd have emptied the cemetery. I don't know all about that. But I know he knew Lazarus by name because he loved him. And he specifically and personally called Lazarus. And when he said, Lazarus, come forth, I want you to picture Lazarus. There's a stone has been rolled away. They didn't roll away the stone because Jesus didn't have the power to do that. He had the power to roll away the stone. He had the power, if needed to be, to bring Lazarus through the stone. He had the power to do all things. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who spoke this world into existence. But in order for them to see that he was truly dead and get the full picture of his death, they rolled away the stones. And you know what a horrible picture that must have been. What good is going to happen from this? And as he rolled away the stone and he said, Lazarus, come forth, I'm telling you, a dead man at that very moment became alive. And no power on the face of the earth could have stopped it. And just as he does in the new birth, when one is dead in trespasses as is in sins, he calls them by name. The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Notice it didn't say the voice of the preacher. It didn't say the voice of the Sunday school teacher. It said the voice of the Son of God. And Jesus is the life giver. And if you have life today, he's the one who has spoken to you to give you that life. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. You know, there we see really two miracles. Because number one, he was dead and now he's alive. And number two, he's wrapped in grave clothes, bound hand and foot. You know how they wrapped him up? They wrapped him completely around, the hands by their side, their feet bound up. They covered their body completely with grave clothes. Nobody's walking in grave clothes. Nobody goes walking around in grave clothes. Those grave clothes would restrict you and hold you. And we have evidence of that when he said, loose him and let him go. He said, he that was dead came forth. He was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. So how did he come out of there? He might have floated out of there. I don't know how he came out of there, but I know what. When Jesus said, come, they're coming. And he said, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. That's Isaiah 40. That's the gospel. What does the gospel do? Does the gospel give life? No. The gospel brings life and immortality to life. Through the gospel. Life and immortality is brought to light through the gospel. Jesus is the one who spoke life to him. But then he turned to those that were there. May have been his disciples or the servants that were there. It doesn't say, but I'm telling you, we have a picture of the gospel ministry right here. Those that have been made alive still have on what? They have on the grave clothes. Those grave clothes, not God's little children. Here we got it. God's little children that are dead to sin. They're no longer dead. They're alive. They are to put off the old man. They are to take off the grave clothes. And what does the preaching do? It helps God's little children get loosed. It lets you know who you are and how you ought to live and how you ought to walk and talk and behave. It looses God's little children and it lets them go. What does the truth do? He said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free, make you free. And I'm telling you, that's what Lazarus needed. When those pulled the grave clothes off of him, it didn't make him alive, but it made him be able to manifest his life. You know what he could do when the grave clothes came off? Well, he can now walk. He can move. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. I'm telling you, we see the beautiful miracle of what Jesus did. And then he calls men to loose him and let him go. And that's the purpose of the gospel. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things what Jesus did believed on him. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't do this. He could have come and healed Lazarus. That would have been our way when he was sick to have Lazarus. But Jesus had a greater purpose in mind. He even tells them that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. When we go through the accounts of our life and wonder about all those things, remember that. Our life for us here in this world is not about us. It's about him, to give him the glory and the honor and the praise. May the Lord bless us to be able to do that better and better as we live here in this world. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
love you, Lord.